interesting. There are some handouts at the front if you'd like to try and collect them. And okay. Well, good afternoon. Good afternoon, everyone. It's nice to see you here. I'm delighted to be able to come along and talk to you as a group and to hijack one of your lecture slots today. So hopefully you're not missing out and that's all being dealt with. I think I've met quite a number of you at a similar session last year. But for anyone who doesn't know me, my name's Carol MacDonald, and I'm one of the careers advisors based in Buccleuch Place. I'm linked specifically with informatics in the College of Science and Engineering. So what I want to cover today is, in broad terms, what it's possible to do with an informatics degree, if anyone's not sure of that. Some of you I know will have a much better idea than other people, but hopefully this will be of value to all of you in one way or another. As we go through, please do stop me and ask any questions. I'm quite happy to take questions. And there will be, certainly towards the end of a participative exercise, I'll get you involved in. So I hope you're up for that when we get there. Slight concern, not too much. Right. So just to clarify a bit more what it is I'm planning to cover. First of all, a sort of insight into the graduate labour market in general. Career options with informatics graduates, what you can do, but specifically a look at what previous graduates have actually done from Edinburgh, to give you some feel for that. There are some handouts if you'd like to collect them from the table. Okay. A look at graduate jobs, and we will look at some just a few specific examples and what they require. And then ideas for generating, developing skills and work experience, which is really what can help differentiate you and make you stand out when it comes to applying for internships, for vacation placements, and ultimately for graduate jobs at the end of your degree. And a bit about how to explore and finding opportunities or finding information generally. So that's in broad terms what I want to cover. Can I just check? How many of you managed to come to the Focus and IT event yesterday? Brilliant, quite a number of you. Did you find that useful? Yeah, right, great. Well, maybe refer to that. That's good, thank you. Okay, to put this in a bit more context, there are lots of careers events running all the way through the year, but specifically within informatics, apart from special events like yesterday's Focus on IT, which is based on or around small to medium-sized enterprises, we have done a few of these lecture-type sessions. Did most of you make it last year to our Getting the Most Out of University? Yeah, did some of you not manage last year? Everyone managed. Okay, just so I know what I've got to skirt over quickly. This is the first one this year. We've got another one coming up in a couple of weeks, which is more looking at the career management, career planning process, which is a bit different, but this is a bit more practical, looking at what's out there. Again, just to explain what might is coming up in this programme, year three, third year, we'll focus early on and looking specifically at internships and taking stock of where you've got to. Probably more on the applications process. We'll try and get in some alumni, some Edinburgh graduates to talk to you about what they've done. And in the final year, we will meet again at the beginning of the year just to gear up for the graduate application process and make sure everybody knows. So that's just in broad terms what's going on. But to try and set the scene and just get thinking about the graduate market, I've got a kind of quick quiz here. One or two things we touched on last year, for those of you who were here, but we'll skirt over that. But hopefully it will refresh your mind and just get you thinking about the context. So who would like to hazard a guess in this one? How many? C? About 30,000? B? 12,000, something like that. D, computer science student, that'd be a lot, right? Okay, so lots of different ideas in that. In actual fact, I need to explain this a wee bit more carefully, because in terms of undergraduate students, the students in the same position as you graduating, there were 12,000 computer science graduates last year. The other figures do actually mean something. It's not been plucked out of the sky. 8,000 is the number of postgrads graduating with computer science degrees, really top master's students. It does include international students too. And the 12,000 includes people on foundation-related IT degrees, so not all full degrees. So a bit of a mix there. The 30,000 is actually the number of students at Edinburgh, give or take, and the 350,000 is the number of first degree graduates in the UK. Fairly vast. The reason I'm showing you this is just to highlight or just make you think about and address the sort of competition element. There are a lot of people there every year coming onto the market and chasing postgrad opportunities and graduate jobs. However, the vast majority of them are successful and there are good opportunities there. I know there has been lots of very negative media coverage, I think, over the last year, couple of years, and a few sort of really attention-grabbing headlines. But I do want to emphasise, and I think more will come out of this, is that the vast majority of people have been successful. However, a degree alone is not going to open all the doors to you, and you do need to think about what employers are looking for and what's going to make the difference for you. But you're in a great starting point coming from a leading informatics department at a leading university, and I think that that is a good starting point, but not enough in itself. So the competition is one element. Okay. Further study, what do you think? Any guesses? A, D. Well, I'm kind of cheating a bit with this, but I thought it'd be a thought-provoking thing. It's kind of both A and D, depending on what year you're looking at. There's quite a lot of fluctuation, unsurprisingly, when you're looking at a relatively small cohort. 2008, 9% of people from informatics, all the undergraduate courses in informatics, went on to further study. Last year, it was much higher. I'm saying last year, so I'm talking about last year's 2009, which is not strictly correct, but I should explain that the data that I'm using comes from the national destination figures, which are all based at what graduates were doing at 6 months after graduation. So the 2010 data has just been collected, but hasn't been analysed, and there's no reports. So the most recent that I've got to show you is 2009. I should explain that one, okay? 2009, a lot going into further study, partly, I think, because people wanted to and were motivated in that direction, but no doubt also because students knew the market was very competitive, so more people probably than usual looked in that direction. However, the point that I really want to make here is that a reasonable percentage every year for, goodness, going back a long time, have actually opted to go on to further study. And I think for lots of students early on in the course, on your degree, it's an automatic thing to think about a job at the end. And of course, the majority do go on to jobs at the end. However, further study is an option. And again, I'll come on and show you later some of the examples of what people actually went on to do rather than just numbers on it. Generally speaking, last year we were kind of slightly higher than the national average, well, a wee bit higher than the national average. It's not uncommon for Edinburgh to be a wee bit higher than the national average, I think because it is a research-led university and we get a lot of interest in people going on to further research degrees. Okay, I think I showed this to you last year, but can anyone remember or hazard a guess? Pardon? B, did I hear someone say? Yeah, B. Despite the fact everything is so competitive and there's so much bad press around, there have been a number of surveys, this was taken actually from one in 2007 before the recession, but I think it still holds true, that people, graduates, do financially better over a lifetime. There is a benefit in going through all this work, not just because of the pleasure of the degree and studying, financially, also in job satisfaction. Graduates tend to show a higher level of job satisfaction. Graduates tend to have a higher rate of being in employment, lower rates of unemployment, and also have much better prospects of getting back into jobs after our break. So it's just to say, show a sort of upside there. Pay, salary. Any views? There's two things here. It might be what you think and also what you would like might be different things. But what would you think might be a typical, if there's such a thing, graduate salary? This is actually general. This is general. So just a lot of the other stats have been informatics. This one is more general. A, B, right. Lots of muttering. And again, I'm sort of cheating a bit here as well. But just to introduce, oh, I know it's terribly boring. They all are. But it basically depends what survey. The reason why I'm showing you this is, again, press headlines can be very, very misleading. I've certainly seen a lot recently in the press about a survey which was called the High Flyer Survey, which is based on the top 100, Times top 100 companies, saying that the average salary is 29,000. And what I'd like to point out is that really isn't the average. That's the average of the top leading employers who are paying at the top end, which I think is kind of giving a false picture. Lots of different sources, surveys around Prospects is one of the big graduate websites that do salary surveys often. Their bottom was 15, they actually went up to 39. HESA actually do the annual UK survey of all graduates to find out what people are doing. So it's look at people, all disciplines, all positions, and they came out with an average of 19.6. The AGR, Association of Graduate Recruiters, again tends to be bigger companies, it tends to be higher paying, 25. But there are some right up at this 40 plus, not many. Investment banks, some oil and gas, not all, and amazingly, or I think amazingly, Aldi, the retail outfit. A wee bit of a surprise there. But I think the thing is, try and have a realistic view. It has been an IT, there's an IT jobs watch site, and on that they're saying the average is actually 22 for IT, and in Scotland 20, in London 27. But I think it's just good to have that bit of realism and not get carried away with some of these headlines and figures that are banded around. Make sure you do interpret them with a wee bit of caution, okay? Right, need to think a wee bit more. Six employment sectors, just bounce off some ideas, a sort of mini brainstorm. Where could you actually work? Not names of companies, but if you can think of groups of companies, I guess if we think the obvious one would be within the IT industry, within specialist hardware, software companies. So that's number one. Other ideas, sorry?
Investment banks,
yeah. That's a popular one, sure. Anything else? Where else would you expect to potentially be able to work?
Pharmaceutical.
Did someone down here say something? Sorry? Defence, absolutely.
Army,
so into defence, right, armed services, yep. Government, right, you're getting the idea. Now, I won't sort of force you to come up with the full six. And this isn't necessarily a definitive list either. But what I did want to just highlight again is that with the skill set you've got, you're in demand in basically any area. Virtually all types of companies or all sectors will value IT skills and may well be looking for graduates from your disciplines to go into development roles, IT support roles, perhaps project management, more at the business end of IT. So there's a lot of opportunities out there. But I think, again, a lot of people just automatically think about the IT industry, and that's fine if you want what you're doing to be the essence of the company, to be absolutely at the centre of what the organisation is all about, then look that way. But do be aware that the IT support function is so important just across the all sectors. IT industry, hardware, software, obviously very big recruiter. A lot of fair number do go into academic research, business services such as accountancy firms, business advisory firms, consultancies, management consultancies, IT consultancies, technical consultancies, engineering consultancies, finance, and all areas in finance, investment banks, quite a big thing. We've had a lot of students going in that direction, clearing banks, other finance organisations, such as insurance or actuarial organisations. So there's all sorts there. But what I'm really just saying is you can think broadly if you want to. There's lots out there. Oops,
Which can't you do? Okay. We'll debate that one in a minute. Anything else? Prison officer. It's not a kind of natural thing from an informatics degree, but we'll come back to that too. Barrister. Okay. Yeah, you're kind of spotting a lot of obvious things. I do. I'll sort of show you this, and this might make some sense. In actual fact, I suppose the true answer to this is there's nothing in that list that you couldn't do if you wished and were prepared to do a lot of retraining, like a medical degree or a law conversion or a teaching postgrad or a town planning course or a veterinary degree. These kind of things are possible, but basically, the things in blue are the sort of things you could go straight into with no further training or train on the job. The other things you would need to come back and retrain. Historically, looking at people coming from the School of Informatics, the vast majority of students have chosen to continue in a related discipline. But I did want to highlight the fact that that is not essential. If at any point any of you are thinking you're not sure if you want to follow a career in your degree and feeling perhaps you're being hemmed in, you're not. At the end of your degree, you could move in other directions if you wished to. Okay? But having gone through this, it might be a bit more interesting to start to move on and think about what do people really do rather than what's possible out there. So I wanted to share just a few of the destination statistics with you. And you do have this information on one of your sheets, which is headed Career Destinations, Possibilities and Realities. It's headed, okay? So this is the 2009, as I say, the latest data that I can actually share with you at this point in time. And we've got two lists there. Okay, what I should actually say from this group, you already know from this group 25% went into further study. It was actually 58% went directly into employment, and the vast majority did go into related jobs. And you can see that most of the jobs were definitely software related roles, software development, software engineers, lots of different job titles, analysts, web developers, etc. So quite a range coming up there. There were a few that didn't go into related roles. It was an RAF pilot, marketing assistant, administrator, and chalet host, presumably off for the ski season. That may have been because they chose to, I guess at least a couple of them, it's probably because of the competition at that particular time. But the majority of people did go into related positions and things that were at the right level for their roles. You can get, sorry. How many people graduate? It varies. It does vary sort of year on year. From this particular, I wish I'd brought them along with me. I didn't. I think it normally varies somewhere around 60 and 100 for the undergraduate group. What I should also explain, actually, to clarify this, is that these surveys are done on UK and EU graduates. They're not on international graduates from other countries, and it's because of the UK requirements to follow up. So the figures are distorted a little bit because of that. But hopefully it still gives you a good flavour of what people were actually doing. But to gain the full information of what people do, if you want to see the full survey and the full list, if you look in the Career Service website, then you can actually access it under opportunities, and it's then what do graduates do, you can access it. Or you can see the reports, hard copy reports, if you come into the Career Service. Obviously you've got a bit of a summary and a bit of a feel for what I've given you there. And just going back on the year before, just to show that this is not uncommon, we've got a very, very similar list coming up from the year before. But what I have highlighted are three consultants, as somehow last year we didn't have, or 2009 we didn't have any consultants. And we would expect a few students most years to go into some of the IT or management consultancies like Capgemini or Accenture and organisations like that you'll hear of around the campus. And in that year, too, we had two entrepreneurs, the director and chief executive officer with VideoWiki and SpinSite. Some of you might have actually seen SpinSite yesterday. So again, it's highlighting the fact that most people have gone into highly relevant things, jobs. Roles have been tough, the economy's not great, but there are lots of opportunities out there. I think in the back of that, I should also say that although things are very uncertain, there have been a lot of positive indicators. On SAGE, our vacancy system, the number of graduate jobs rose by 8% in December over December and the year before. Two big graduate surveys, one done in December, one done in early January, have both predicted a good rise in graduate vacancies for this summer. The one done in January was predicting a 12% increase in graduate jobs over 2010. 2011 being 12% up. I know there's lots of sort of other contradictory things coming from other areas, but I think there's probably enough good signs for you to feel quite positive. And considering you've got another 2 years, I think the market hopefully will make some real moves by that point. But even in this difficult climate, things are still fairly positive, really quite positive. Okay. And where did they go? That's the next obvious thing, not just what did they do, but where did they go? A really varied range. You will see some big name companies. I'm sure that's probably what will catch your eye, unless there's small ones that you've now met. Major international technology firms such as Sun Microsystems, now Oracle, Thales, an electronic defense company. E-commerce, Amazon. Media and games companies with the BBC, Real Time Worlds, which unfortunately is no longer in existence, and 4J Studios. In finance, we had Standard Life, State Street, one of the American banks, who've got an Edinburgh office, Deloitte, one of the big accountancy firms. Smaller technology firms, we had Contemplate, an EU spin-out company, iFormis, web-based systems company, Syngro, a customer feedback technology company. We didn't have any consultancies that year, as I mentioned. Telecoms, there's Truephone and MX Telecom. You can see university, two Edinburgh, one at Glasgow. Civil service, Scottish Government, we'd expect quite often of one or two people going there. So the ones at the bottom were not IT, the end of the list. I think the real point to take away from this, if you haven't grasped this one already, is not everyone works for big international companies. A lot do. But not everyone. There are good opportunities in the small to medium-sized sector, and hopefully some of you sort of got more about that yesterday. Also, I think it's backing up that not everybody is working within the sort of IT company sector either. A number of people are working for other organisations. And just again, looking at 2008 employers, in very, very similar, wide range. The ones I've highlighted are... At the top, the Capgemini, Tierney, Strachan Consulting are both consultancies, since they didn't come up before. The games companies, Rockstar and North Black Company, there were actually games companies in the last one. I missed that. And the ones in red at the bottom are just the small to medium-sized companies again. So just flagging up that we always have a number going into to these sorts of organisations. A wee bit more about further study. This is just some examples over the last couple of years. It's not based in any particular year group, but just to give you a bit of a feel. I think the reasons why people tend to think about further study can be quite diverse, but typical reasons are because they want research training. They're really interested in a research career, either an academic research career. They want to go into academic research or want to become a lecturer. Or they want to research within industry, and formal research training, a research degree, becoming a doctor can open doors, definitely does. Within the higher education sector, it really is compulsory. It's the only way you're really going to get ahead in that field. Master's students frequently are doing it because they want to develop specialist skills. There's some area that they just want to get more knowledge, more skills, do a bit of research, but a smaller bit of research to hopefully just give them the edge or to follow up in something that really excites them, really interests them. And then there are other people who will follow postgraduate courses to retrain or change direction. I mean, there you can see someone doing a PGDE, a postgraduate diploma in education in maths. In fact, two of them going on to become math teachers. But there could be something else. You know, it's quite possible we could have seen a planning or a law or a whatever else up there, but it's not showing just now. If you're not sure, then just to clarify, PhDs, you would expect them to be 3 years long, sometimes 4 years. highly specialised research where you really are breaking new ground, you're working yourself, but under a supervisor. As a kind of very brief recap, you probably get contact with quite a lot of research students, I would think, through labs, for instance. The master's typically one full calendar year. For master's and PhD, 2 1s plus, PhD certainly strong 2 1 plus, if you're interested. In terms of applications, you normally want to apply quite early. You don't need to stay at Edinburgh. You don't even need to stay in the UK or your home country. A lot of people are geographically mobile at this point. But if you're thinking about going elsewhere, it can take time to do research and to get standardised tests and exams out the way. So certainly, if you're thinking about going abroad and it's a four-year degree, think early in your third year about starting to find out if you're thinking about doing something a wee bit unusual. Okay. In general terms, finding out a wee bit more about career options, I would really encourage you, if you haven't already, spend some time looking at the Career Service website. It's a good hub. It doesn't answer all the questions, but it's good at redirecting you on to other sources. You can find out a lot about occupations, certainly going through the IT links, occupations, and looking at IT through the Explore Your Options section. You will get links to lots of sites that will give you really quite detailed information about the IT industry and the types of careers that are out there. What you can do with your degree, if you want to get more into the destinations, you can find that online. If you want more information about postgrad, again, using our sites is quite a good starting point. Are you all familiar with SAGE? Great, okay. The vacancy part of our website. There are about 4,000 vacancies a year coming through there, and it's really worthwhile keeping looking. Talks and events, a lot happening. Keep looking and you'll find out what's going on. I'll flag up some as we go. But certainly careers fairs, employer presentations, they're really good opportunities for you to meet people, to network, to find out about opportunities and clarify your own thinking and really work out where you would like to get to and how you can make yourself stand out. You'll get lots of good information at these things. In addition to our site, some of the other sites that are particularly good for you include the Inside Careers site, which offers the official industry guide that the BCS subscribe to. Target Jobs and Prospects, all good for background information in the industry and the types of graduate careers, but they also all have vacancy sites attached to them. And I think if you're not sure about what you want to do, it can be quite useful even to start to look at the vacancy sites early on, even though you're not applying, to gather a view of what's out there and start to think about where you would like to get to and what these employers are actually asking for, as well as to look for vacation opportunities and internships. Okay? So just a thought there. Okay. I did say that I'd try and do something a wee bit practical. And if you look at the sheets in front of you, you've got a blue one, should be a blue one, which has got example vacancies on it. And I was going to say white one. I think most of you may well have a yellow one, which is headed vacancies for computer science. It's a bit kind of blank. Yeah? I'll draw your attention to that. What I would like you to do is to spend just a minute or two scanning through and choose a job. These are all real jobs. They've come off SAGE. They're vacancies that have actually been advertised in recent times for informatics graduates. If you choose a vacancy and you identify, looking through the information, what they are actually looking for, what the recruiters are looking for, and if you can pick out two essential skills or personal qualities, sometimes it's hard to list them as skills, and one desirable or essential, and actually note those down on your yellow sheet. And then what I would ask you to do once you've done that, oops, I should put that down, is to jot down an example of how you have actually developed the skills. So trying to think about how you can illustrate it, because when you apply, not just for graduate jobs, but as you probably know already, applying for internships, applying for placements, you're trying to give evidence of how you actually match the requirements they've got. So if you can try and think about how you could market yourself, what you could put down to sell yourself, and then Lastly, an idea of how perhaps you could develop that skill a bit further so that you're continuing to think not just about your technical skill development, which of course is very important, but what else you can do to really try and differentiate yourself and make yourself stand out. So I'd like you to push on with this, and I'll give you about, where are we? About 10 minutes to work through this. Okay? It really doesn't matter which vacancy you choose, as long as you just have a think, look at one and just try and think about what they're looking for. And obviously, very importantly, what you could use as your evidence. What I think I'll do is I'll stop you there. Some of you have really thrown yourselves into this. I think others are reading endlessly the detail on it. But let's stop there and just actually have a think about this exercise. Any surprises when you've been looking at the job vacancies? Were they what you would have expected as typical IT vacancies? Some nods, yep. In terms of the requirements, what they're actually highlighting, when you look down, if I just randomly pick some, ability to absorb new and complex ideas, strong team working, passion for IT, desire to learn, excellent communication, analytical skills, attention to detail, creativity and curiosity. Yep. Any surprises with that kind of shopping list? No. Okay. I think it's really important just to, you know, get this to the forefront of your mind and to be able to think about how you can market yourself at present on the basis of what you've already done, but also not to be complacent about it. I'm not suggesting for a minute that you have got no skills in these particular areas or no personal qualities there. That would be ridiculous. But it's always a case of continuing to develop and trying to take what you've got to a higher level. So, for example, in communication, it's really tailoring communication to different audiences, improving confidence at presentations, being able to persuade, negotiate, to influence. You know, it's all different aspects of it. And I think the more you're able to challenge yourself, the better, and the more evidence you've got to show that you're not just operating at a fairly general level, but actually you really have developed these things as well as your technical capabilities and academic achievements to a high level. Okay. The sort of next logical thing over, obviously, from that is what can you do about it if you want to get involved? Now, I know this is something we covered last year, and I think probably something that a lot of you have been thinking actively about or no doubt are quite involved in. But if you're not currently very involved in other activities within the university or outside the university, then I think it's worthwhile really trying to take stock and thinking about what you can do to develop your experience and enhance your skills, if you like, to help you stand out when you come to apply for opportunities. And this is just one sort of suggestion or a list of suggestions. On the other side of the sheet which I gave you, which outlines the destinations, you will find a heading, Building Your Experience, Making the Most of University. And on there, hopefully, you will find some good ideas, some things that you could do. Certainly clubs and societies, to get involved, to take on positions of responsibility is great, or even to get active in CompSoc. I believe there's quite a lot of events being held within the school or being organised by CompSoc, which is it's really, really useful. But it doesn't matter if it's that or if it's something at the basketball society or wine tasting society or whatever you happen to get involved in. It's obviously good if you can put a lot into it. And whether it's organising events, whether it's developing the website for them, sorting out a membership database, raising funds, whatever you're doing, it can be something that's really hopefully fun and good to do and also beneficial. And I think that's the key to this. It's not just thinking about what you have to do to look good. It's thinking about what you would enjoy doing, what you can actually give time to happily and you feel is worthwhile and fulfilling and pleasurable rather than just purely something to stick in your CV. So it should all come together. Skills sessions, CompSoc do it. I know there'll be a lot happening in the school. There can be other things. Don't miss out on opportunities. If you see things and you can fit them in, it's good to go along. Languages, you don't have to study languages, but they can be useful. And there are a number of opportunities now to study modern languages within the university and either free or discount rates. So it's something you may well want to have a look into. Volunteering, another one. Positions of responsibility. Not everyone can be the class rep, obviously, but it's worthwhile thinking about things you can do. For work experience is so essential. I mentioned the High Flyer survey, and I guess it probably wasn't a huge surprise when a number of the companies have said work experience is absolutely essential now. They see work experience as a prerequisite and ideally relevant work experience. Most students have. I don't know if anyone's sitting cringing at that. I know some people do not work at all through university. If any of you haven't done anything yet, then I would really, really urge you to do anything. Get out, part-time job, casual job, anything, but do go out and do something. That's, I think, really quite important. But as time goes on, if you can gain relevant experience, then so much the better. And whether that's an internship with one of the big companies or work experience with one of the small companies, or whether it's volunteering to set up a database or a website or whatever it is, it doesn't really matter in what capacity, but they're all worth doing. Looking at Sage is ideal. Attending the employer presentations to find out what they've got is great. Some of you will have heard about opportunities yesterday at the Focus on IT event. That was one selection of small to medium-sized companies, but other small to medium-sized companies are probably looking for people too. And they might not advertise, and it's probably worth you taking the initiative and actually contacting them, and you never know what might come of that. Okay. International experience, not essential, but some people have gained tremendously from doing things like international exchange years. You may be here from other countries and be gaining that experience anyway, but we have had some students who have done very well out of that, either for study abroad or indeed to try and take a work placement abroad. And there are some organisations that help you set that up, such as ISD, which I've actually listed here, which does technical placements abroad. So that sort of thing's worth knowing about. But do have a look through there. If you need any more ideas or any more help on that, then don't hesitate to come into the Career Service, and hopefully we can maybe point you in the right direction. Just to flag some of the things that are coming up, I am doing another session in 2 weeks' time, which is really looking at the career planning process or the career management process. And basically what the idea is behind that is you can think about what's out there, you can think about the possibilities, but sometimes it's hard to really narrow that down and think about how you make sense of it and how you work out what's actually going to be best for you, and how sometimes then go on to implement it. So we're trying to look more at the process there, and that's on the 15th of February. But other events coming up, you can find on the Career Service website, but just to give you a flavour of some of them, Centrica, energy company, are doing a general business awareness session. Accenture, a session of what management consultancy is. Somebody actually said to me when I was walking around that they just didn't really have a feel for what consultancy was, so you can find out. Deloitte Professional Services, a case study. So you can see there's a range of different things going on there. But next year, when you come back in third year, there will be a lot more going on. Most of the careers programme is really kind of geared towards the first semester. That's when we have our big careers fair, and that's when we have most of the employer presentations. So make sure next year when you come back that you're ready to take advantage. And as a third year, you're going to jump on these opportunities, go along, attend, find out what you can. One thing I want to highlight just now, and I will make sure that I get the message out to people again to re-emphasise it, is most of the structured internships with big companies are offered to third year students. And for a lot of these big companies, these structured internships are actually the route into them. They may recruit more people through internships, if you like, a long extended interview for you and for them. And that may well be the main route onto the graduate jobs. So don't dismiss the internships, okay? Obviously, a lot of recruitment can go on in final years too, but it really is worthwhile thinking about where you would really like to be and thinking about